Recently in the Westboro Inquirer Weekly, I made mention that 40 years ago this week, I, along with two of my friends from the Rexdale Alliance Church, got in the car with their stuff packed and made our way to Regina as we are part of the freshman class of 1976. And I look back and I think, how can that be that it was 40 years ago? But I think back to another time even before that. It was one of those experiences that some of you might remember having. I don't know what side of the coin you're on, but it was the first day of school, and we were all making our way to our classrooms. As we were making our way to our classrooms, we came to a certain area of the school, and suddenly most of us went up one hall, but one of our friends suddenly was going the other way. You see, in the spring of that year when we got our report cards, Johnny got a failing mark in that grade and had to repeat it. Now, I don't think it's common practice anymore to do that, but on that occasion, he failed, and I remember, I said, well, what are you going to do? He said, well, the teacher said, Johnny, you need to try harder. This past week, as I was down at the Meridian Center, I was sitting in the stands watching the Niagara Ice Dogs Junior A hockey team as training camp was taking place. 80 young men chasing a dream. And as they were chasing their dream, they were doing everything in their power to take their game to another level, hoping to impress the coaches and the scouts that were in the stands that they might make the grade and be a part of this year's team. If you were listening like I was to some of the parents who were in the stands, all they could think about was, and what they were uttering was, he needs to try a little harder. He needs to do better to make the grade. A few weeks ago, there was another occasion, and for most of you, you probably couldn't care less about the concert that took place up in the Kingston. But on August 20th, across Canada, for North America, for that matter, there was an incredible interest that there was a last concert by a group called the Tragically Hip. Now, I know most of you are tragically and hip, but you know what? There was this occasion where in Kingston, it was sold out. And I remember talking to people and they were saying this, I would do anything to be at that concert. How many of you hip fans would say that? Okay, thank God for that. Okay. But what I'm trying to say this morning is when you look at these different things, there's this element in our life, in the way that we live, that says, you know what, if you try harder, you'll be able to succeed. And I'm not saying that's wrong. But as we're looking at it this morning, I think there are times when it comes to our Christian faith that message starts seeping in and making its way into our lives. And folks, the Christian life is never about trying harder. It's about trusting more. This morning, we are coming to the Lord's table. And as we are coming this morning, I want us to look back into John chapter 14. These words are familiar to probably many of you. But let me read the first six verses to you. John says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And then Jesus shared those words, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but through me. There is a need for comfort as we listen to the words that Jesus utters in verse 1. And Jesus delivered these words to his disciples. There is a need for a reminder, even clarification, that Jesus will be leaving this group of followers whom he loves so much. He has taught them this. He has shared with us on several occasions. And if there's one message that was slow in getting into their skulls, it was this idea that Jesus was going to be leaving. In fact, that he has to face death. Jesus taught this several times to his disciples. And again, on this last night together, the message remains the same. Jesus has come alongside this group of men and has been teaching them in a way that is in opposition to what they were used to of the religious leaders of that day. It all comes down to the battle of trusting more versus trying more, trying harder. Trusting more versus trying harder. This is something that they had become accustomed to. The religious leaders of the day had been very good about adding things that needed to be accomplished in order to sort of attain this sort of holiness, or at least some sort of level of self-righteousness. It was all about trying harder. And Jesus' teachings have been in opposition to that. He's been talking to them. He's been telling them to trust him. Will my eyes be fixed on the who is the way, or the how and or what can I do to inherit eternal life? This is something that Jesus was questioned about. When people came and they said, what must I do to have eternal life? What can I do? And really it comes down to this idea of trusting in me, trusting in Jesus. This morning, let us remember the words of John 14 were written on the final night before Jesus would face the cross. In chapter 13, we see that Jesus and his disciples assumed an experience, a setting, a lifestyle that they were quite familiar with. They often would eat together. And we read those words in John 13, verses 1 and 2. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Well, when I hear the full extent of his love, Philippians chapter 2 comes screaming at me, where Paul says, have this attitude in yourself that was in Christ Jesus, who though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality of God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Why should the disciples need comfort in this particular setting? Well, if you read chapter 13, you know that it was bothering them that their master actually took the initiative to wash their feet. It was humbling. It was embarrassing. This was their master, their teacher, the Messiah. And for some, it was clear that he was the Son of God. And so here, Jesus takes initiative to start washing their feet, and that started things into a time of troublesome in their spirits. Again, he was predicting his death. He informed them that one of them would betray him. Now he's talking again about leaving them. Their relationship, that is the one between Jesus and his disciples, had been started with the words, follow me. And follow me, to me, it's all about trust. You just don't drop everything and follow somebody without the element of trust. And the disciples have done that. They follow them. This morning, I think I need to remind all of us that those same words that Jesus spoke to the disciples are the same words that the Holy Spirit speaks to each of us. This Jesus, follow him. This Jesus, trust him. I would think that any one of us, when we would, with the words that we have read in chapter 13, that we would see that there was a certain level of discomfort and there would be a certain level of discomfort and uneasiness in our spirits if we were placed in the same position. Again, John says he showed them the full extent of his love, at least to this moment. Jesus, their master, was their servant, but more so what he would do on the cross that he'd been prepared for would show the full extent of his love. He was starting to show it here as a servant, explaining to him that in the hours to come that he was leaving and his destination was the cross. John, again, that verse in chapter 15, verse 13, that greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. We might want to skip over for a moment into Matthew chapter 20, and we remember the request of one of the mothers, the mother of James and John. When Jesus asked her what she wanted, she asked that her sons have the best seats in the house. That's what she was asking for, the primo spots in the kingdom. And Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking for. And Jesus tells her these things in the words again, that show his example of being a spirit. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. In this moment when their need is for comfort, Jesus answered with a call to trust in God. It is never about trying harder, but trusting in God and trusting who we are in Jesus. Trust brings with it a confidence of not only who Jesus is, but who we are in the relationship with Jesus. Hear Jesus' words. Trust in God. Trust also in me. As we come to the Lord's table this morning, what is the health of your trust? Your trust quotient, the trust factor, the trust level. What is the health of that in your life today? Could it be that there are things that have or are happening even in this moment that see you in a troubled condition? And if so, that's okay. It's okay because the message this morning is the same reminder that Jesus gave to his disciples. We're at the table. We're coming into this communion around the Lord's table. We're remembering what he did for us at Calvary. His body that was broken, his blood that was shed, the perfect sacrifice that we might have the forgiveness of our sins, that we might be redeemed in the eyes of the Father. But this is also a time when we remember that in those troubled moments, Jesus said, trust in me. So what is it this morning that might be troubling you? And if there is something that is troubling you this morning, I encourage you, hear his words and confidently take him at his word and receive the comfort that he can give. Trust in God. Trust also in me. I believe that faith is that belief and that strong belief that I have in God. But trust is a firm reliance on the character or the integrity of God. I've developed a faith in God, a belief that he is able. Now he is trying to teach me to totally and completely rely on him, trust him in all things. You know, I find in my life that there are times when if I could be totally open with you. Well, I'm going to be totally open with you. There are times that I probably trust people quicker than I do God. Mike is the mechanic at Henley Honda. I don't know Mike. But Mike has serviced my car several times. I have never questioned Mike. I don't know him. But for whatever reason, I have a confidence that when I take my car in there, it's going to be done properly. It's going to be serviced right, and all's going to be well. You know, God has been so faithful in my life that when I was thinking about it this week, I was challenged. Even convicted. Mo, do you trust me the same way? We can trust others that are around us so easily. In fact, sometimes it's so easy to go running to other people. And there's a security there. And there's a certain confidence and a comfort that we find from them. And our Lord is saying, come to me first. Trust in me. So this morning, let us again be reminded of those words in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, most of us could probably quote them from memory, to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths or direct your paths. With all your heart. Trust with all your heart. And that word to acknowledge, as I looked up the word acknowledge, it's to recognize the authority of our God, the validity of his claims, the realness of his promises, the steadfastness of his character. And so when we are able to trust him, and not only trust him, but then acknowledge who he is, there's a connection there. Because I think we're reminded again that the size of our God has a lot to do with the level of our trust. Think of our God who is all-knowing, ever-present, all-powerful, unchanging, who is the purest of love. That is the God we need to trust. Jerry Bridges, in his book, Trusting God, Even When Life Hurts, says this, trust is not a passive state of mind. It is a vigorous act of the soul by which we choose to lay hold of the promises of God and cling to them despite the adversity that at times seeks to overwhelm us. My friends, we all know that there are times when we are troubled. We all know that there are times when we face battles. But again, this morning, as Jesus extended those words of comfort to his disciples, may we cling to them, trusting God, trust also in me. This past week on Facebook, there was a message there that was posted by one of the young men who was in one of my former youth groups. I had the privilege 4 years ago of performing his marriage. Had not seen him on Facebook for some time. And as I was reading the list, he said, my apologies to families and friends on Facebook because I've not been on here while I've been going through a lot. The place that I was renting, the landlord decided to sell, so I had to find a new place. I decided to move back into Toronto. I moved back into Toronto because I decided to take the former job that I have with the company that I have. I've also had a car accident. In that car accident, there was a lot of strain in my back that I was facing, so I was sort of shut down. And then the words, my wife and I are separated. I contacted him, and I said, my goodness, what is going on? I had no idea. I had no idea because it just seemed like recently that there was something that was posted. I said, are you getting counseling? Are you getting help? Are you speaking to one another? And his words were to me that this had been going on for a couple of years. She had been getting counseling, that she had some issues that were not shared. She decided that separation was the best thing. There was no infidelity. There was no adultery or anything like that. So he was thankful for that. And then the words, because my response is, so what are you going to do? I saw the love that you had for this woman. Are you willing to fight for the relationship? And my wife always reminds me, relationships take work. Amen? And I said to him, I said, you know, what are you prepared to do? And the words that just seemed to just drop like a bomb were these words, I don't know if I can trust her again. I think we would all understand that when you take trust out of a relationship, what do you have left? Not much. Trust is such a foundational, a support to a relationship. Still, as we come to the Lord's table this morning, I'm reminded that so often, our trust in our God is not there. Many people strive to earn their salvation. I'll try harder instead of trusting more. And this morning, dear friends, if you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, this is not earned by anything we can do. It's about taking a step of faith and trusting in what God has done for us. And he invites us to come freely and to receive what only he could do. It will never be about earning our salvation. It will never be about doing something that will make God love us enough to accept us. That's just not the way our God is. He is a God who is love, who unconditionally loves us, accepts us the way we are, says, come to me, trust me. That's the invitation of our God. And so this morning, I really want to encourage us to think about the level of our trust, the health of our trust in our God, and desire to go deeper in that trust. How many of you over the years have been to the C&E? How many of you have no desire to ever go to the C&E? Oh, tragic, tragic. I just can't believe it. I am in the C&E for years, but I live for going to the C&E. I just loved it. I was saying the other day that I remember, gosh, I'm going back. I'm dating myself, but who cares? You know what? There was a time when I would go to Dominion. Remember the food store Dominion? Even there, that's a thing in the past. But I go to Dominion, and I would buy a $4 bleacher ticket. And the bleacher ticket to the Jays while the C&E was on got me into the game, got me into the C&E, and got me into Ontario Place. It was the best bargain of the world. And I would go several times during the C&E. But one of the things that always attracted me, it was just like that force that sort of sucked me down the midway. you know, and I was powerless. I couldn't do anything. I tried harder, but sooner or later I ended up with the football throw. And it, you know what? There was this game there, and the football throw, they had these tires all over the wall, and they had all these big animals that were sort of hanging down, blocking you to throw the ball through to win the thing. And so you go up and you put a dollar down and you get the football. You have two footballs. Any of you ever remember the game? Doesn't matter. Okay. So you get up there and I have the football and the first football, I remember throwing it and it goes right through the tire. And the guy starts going, you know, it's like, okay, can you give me the football? And he's going, oh, we got one here. We got one. He's always going, you know, I need, just give me the football, please. And I remember getting the football and throwing the second one, and it hit the rim of the tire and bounced off. And I went, give me two more. You know, and I was like, wham, right through. And I remember, oh, and again, the whole act, it was unbelievable. You know, again, I put the first one through, and the guy says, we got another one. Well, I throw this one. It hits the tail of some stuffed animal that's hanging down. And it went on and on. Okay, we're up to the $10 mark. And, you know, I know, you know, some of you Scotch and Dutch people are freaking out right now, but they're going, I can't believe he's wasting money. Okay, but anyways, friend of mine looks at me and goes, Mo, you know what would be easier if I just bought you an animal? That doesn't make sense. Because I was determined I was going to earn it. I was going to win it. You know, when we think of our relationship with Jesus Christ, so many people want to earn it. And Jesus says to us, I've already paid for it. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to strive for it. God bless you, Mo, but you don't have to put two footballs through a tire to get to heaven. You just need to accept what I have done for you. You just need to trust in me. How's your trust doing this morning? It's the words that Jesus invites us to come to his table with when we read the Gospel of John. And this morning, if your heart is troubled in any way, my words to you are the words of Jesus. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Chuck Swindoll says we must cease striving and trust God to provide what he thinks is best and in whatever time he chooses to make it available. But this kind of trusting does not come naturally. It's a spiritual crisis of the will in which we must choose to exercise faith. Trusting God, again, is that continuous step of faith that chooses to believe who in whom he is, our God, to believe in his words, in his character, in his promises, and to find the joy and the comfort and peace that is in him alone. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus and to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise and to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust you. How I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. There is a choice to be made, a choice that each of us has to make. We can keep striving, trying harder, or we can trust God. I invite you to choose the latter, to hear Jesus' words to his disciples, those whom he loved, those whom followed him. This morning, if you remember a time in your life when you heard the words of the Holy Spirit said, follow him, this Jesus, follow him, you trusted him. And this morning, Jesus reminds you with those words, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. If you do not know Jesus this morning, I encourage you, I invite you to enter into that relationship with him, to trust him just the way you are, to accept him, to know his love, to know that he forgives you of your sins, that he has a plan for your life, that he will do his good work in you. But it begins by believing in him, taking that step of faith, and trusting him. Let us pray.